This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I have a guest here that some people might know from his comedy online, but also you may know him from Kick-Ass Beef Jerky. Jeremy Littell is here to tell us his story and all the fun that you do, but you did bring us our own drink, and not everyone always brings me a drink. Usually I provide them, but you were kind enough to do so.
I did.
So what do we got here? I mean, you said you had to, like, you brought it traveling.
So I go to Mexico every year, Puerto Vallarta.
Okay.
I go for like 10 days in December. I call it my appetizer.
Your appetizer?
My appetizer. And then I go mid-February to mid-March.
Okay.
And so I've gotten to know all of the guys that do the ATV tours, the fishing, the horseback riding. So I've gotten to know all these people.
Yeah.
And we went on a different ATV ride and ended up doing a tequila tasting. Got this one here. It's the Extra Añejo. So that means it's been in the barrel, I believe, for over 8 years.
Okay.
So the alcohol content's a little bit lower. I think it's at 38%.
Sure.
Which is lower for tequila. I think most of them are like 40. But I haven't tried this, and I was telling you that during traveling, the top had broke off.
Yep.
And so I had to glue it back on, which I did yesterday. And then at work, I let Kyle try some, and it popped right off.
So. Sure. So, well, I mean, so it's tequila we're having.
Yes.
And you can only get it from there, I assume. I've never seen that in the store.
No, this is not in the stores.
Okay.
This is straight from Mexico. It's a little artisanal type place. And I don't believe that they can actually call it tequila because of they do it at like their home place. So this is kind of like the moonshine of tequila.
That's what you want to have. Yeah. It's something that you can't get here. And I brought something back about a year and a half ago after a cruise on a Cozumel. And it was like $250. I don't know if it was a good one or not, but it tasted fantastic. Yeah. And my buddy and I, we had ourselves a pretty fun time on the podcast. So I don't know, man. Are we ready to crack this?
Let's pop it open.
All right. I don't want to be the guy that breaks it again.
Oh, it came right off.
Oh, perfect. And I asked you.
You're a little higher up than I am.
I'm a little higher up. You know, once I start making some money at this, I'll get better furniture, I promise.
Oh, we're good.
And I asked you, should we have it on the rocks or straight up? And you said, straight up is how I do it. So I'm like, well, I'm doing straight up then, because I feel like you probably get the best flavor, because sometimes it brings it down.
Yeah.
If you distill it a little bit with some ice or something. Cheers, Jeremy.
Cheers. Let's try it out.
That doesn't taste like tequila. I can taste tequila because we have the cheap crap they always told me. In the States, like Patron, we always think is, oh, that's the thing. And that when I was in Cozumel, they go, nah, that's some pretty cheap stuff in the States.
This is smooth.
This is very smooth.
Very smooth.
Because I'm not usually a huge tequila fan.
I'm not either.
And this tastes like
more like a bourbon whiskey.
I think it tastes like a bourbon rye.
Yeah,
and that's some one of my favorite drinks.
Well, they get their barrels from Tennessee.
Oh,
or
okay.
Kentucky.
Okay,
Tennessee or Kentucky. Yeah, they get their barrels that are shipped in from there, and that's where you get that little smoky like caramelish. Yeah, it's good.
It's I could drink this pretty simply. And I'm glad I didn't actually do the ice because normally I would do ice. I'm glad I didn't because I want the full flavor. And it sometimes, like I said, it kind of waters it down. But anyways, Jeremy, I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to come here because we've been
taking forever.
That's okay. That's okay because I know you're busy. And you have created this company that a lot of people know, especially in the Winona area, but also around the United States and possibly the world. I don't know.
Oh, I would say worldwide through like TikTok and Facebook and all those other ones. Yeah, that have know of it. I've actually sold some in the UK. And I've got a big fan base in Australia. I don't know why.
No kidding.
But Australia, I haven't shipped any there yet. But apparently Australians like me, so I'm going to have to go there.
That's awesome. And so when it comes down to this company, how did you – I mean, I know it sounds like it was a generational thing, and then you eventually purchased it from what I read, but then you kind of took it to the next level, it sounds like.
Right.
And what? How did you decide, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to blast this off, or did it just happen by accident?
There was a little bit of both that was added into that. So my dad started the company in 2001 in Milwaukee. Yeah. Before that, back in the late 70s, he was a juice man. Like a juice home man. Juice man. So like there was like the milkman.
Yep.
He was the juice man. So he would deliver to all of these different restaurants and bars and homes.
Sure.
He's got a lot of stories.
A juice man. So like orange juice?
It was orange juice, fruit punch. Papaya juice was his number one. And I believe the company might still be in business. It's Home Juice.
Home Juice.
And it had a big orange on the side of the truck that he drove.
Okay.
He had shirts that were made that said, "We squeeze to please."
So you could have been also the juice man's baby, too, not just the milkman's.
Correct. Well, I am the juice man's baby.
Yeah. That's great.
And so he did that. Up until I was probably 4 or 5 years old, he would take me on the route with him, and I got to know all of these people, and they'd buy me Christmas presents, birthday presents.
Sure.
So it was fun. So I've been in sales my whole life, ever since I could walk.
Sure.
And so he did that for a few years, well, quite a few years. But then he was approached by a company out of Milwaukee that sold beef jerky.
And gotcha.
My dad used to fill his truck every day with the juice, and it would be, well, probably 40-pound crates full of juice. I mean, they're the glass bottles.
Sure.
So he's like, you can make twice as much money selling beef jerky than you could with your juice, and it's a lot lighter, and it wouldn't be so harmful on your back. So he was one of the original guys that were selling Jack Link's beef jerky throughout Wisconsin.
Okay.
So he did that for a few years, and then he thought, well, I know a lot of people. I could sell jerky on my own.
Yep.
And so he just went around with the different profiles, finally got someone to make the jerky for him. And his original name was Sauk City Specialty Products because my great-grandpa had a butcher market in Sauk City, Wisconsin. Dad got some of the recipes from there, and that's where the original product came from.
Gotcha.
And that was in 2001. And in the beginning, he just named it Ash Jerky. It was literally Ash Jerky.
Was that a good selling name?
No. I mean,
you want some Ash Jerky?
It was plain ass, zesty ass, hot ass, kick ass.
That's kind of
cool. And then there was one other one, sweet ass.
Sweet ass.
Yeah. Okay. And so we're sitting around a campfire. This had been probably 2004 or 2005.
Okay.
He's like, so what name do you think? He says, we can't have all these. What name would resonate for your age group? And I was like, Kick-Ass is the one it should be. It's like Bitchin' from the 80s, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, Kick-Ass, it's good. Well, people, and still to this day, if they don't know our product, they think Kick-Ass is going to be super hot. So we added the tagline, it's just that good. So
sure.
It's Kick-Ass, it's just that good. And so we rebranded everything to Kick-Ass. And then throughout the next 5-6 years, added like the snack sticks, the pickle products.
Yep.
I came on in 2010, and I was working as a loan officer.
A loan officer. Okay.
Yeah, John, vice president, him and I met. It was at Minnesota First over by the mall.
Oh, okay.
Next to State Farm over there. And I was working for them, and my dad's like, well, you should come work for me, and we can make some stuff happen. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make any money selling beef jerky.
Sure.
He's like, there's some money in it. So my first job was to ride along with all of the people that we were already selling to. My dad, great guy, great at getting you product. But if you're not selling as much as he wants to, he'll put someone else in the same city as you are. And for me, I wanted to develop that relationship with the people, help them grow, show that I care about them. So then they'll care about me if they're going into a store, and they'll think about me because I was the one that was out there with them.
Sure.
So 2010 took the sales from 600,000 to 1.2 million by not adding any new customers, just by going along and showing that I care with the people that we're with.
That, you know, that's true. When it does come down to buying products from someone, you want to see that whoever's selling it to you cares about you. And that's always, you know, I'm in real estate, so same thing. You got to keep in contact with these people. They want to know that you care about their best interest, and that does show. And you doubled it
in a year. That in mean, 1 year, yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah. Then I'm looking at your website right now, and you guys have products upon products. I mean, it's not beef jerky anymore. I mean, you talked about the snack sticks and pickled products, but then you got Bloody Marys.
Yep.
I know you had a seltzer at one point. Do you still have the seltzers?
So we had the seltzer. That was, what was the name of their?
Island City. Now it's Two Fathoms.
Yeah. Well, when Island City, they went to a different, it's a brew house now instead of a brewery. There's two different licenses with that.
Yep.
And you cannot manufacture for sales for that. We did great with it though. Right away we placed it in a lot of places. They had the craft brewery. What was that?
The Winona Craft Beer Tour. Yep.
We won that. I mean, I don't know if it's because we were local or not, but we ended up winning that. We had a great product. It's just they were able to help us out by doing small quantities.
Sure.
If we want to do that now, I got to order truckloads. And we're trying to work on the vodka. So,
because
we got the vodka, we're trying to push that and help that grow. And the liquor business is a bitch.
Here's one that I just saw when I was at the county fair. You guys have soap now.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the smoke one. And I think it was campfire or something. Yep. It smelled fantastic. Actually, my my sister-in-law bought some.
Wash your ass.
See, like, that is creative marketing, and that gets to the younger people. I mean, even the older people still, they know what it is. But, I mean, like, Jack's Lynx, we all know what that is. But Kick Ass, like, that's just one that resonates with a younger crowd, I feel.
Right.
Because it's just a cool name. And you guys have a cool logo, barbed wire. It's bright orange. I see your guys' vehicles all around town here and stuff like that. So the Kick Ass Vodka is the biggest one you're now working on? Or is it just...
Well, the Kick Ass Vodka...
Or to take place of the seltzer.
I think, yeah, we added them pretty close to around the same time. The thing is with a vodka, it's kind of like your starter alcohol, you know, like when you're a kid and you're just starting to get into drinking 21, well, actually 17, 18.
Yeah.
You start with vodka.
Sure. And it mixes with everything.
And there's the thing is there are tons of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is, you know, promote it as part of our brand.
Sure.
You know, that it's part of, you know, we've got our Bloody Mary mix, we've got our pickle products, we've got our everything that we have. Well, then you put that vodka in there, and it just completes it.
Right.
And
that's
kind of what we're trying to go with. And I know everybody doesn't like Bloody Marys, but then, you know, it goes great with lemonade. And I mean,
it does.
I mean, you can you, like I said, you start out mixing vodka with anything.
You can, because you barely know it's even there sometimes. Right. So, yeah, that makes sense, though, to do the vodka and the kick-ass Bloody Mary mix, because they just go hand in hand. And my wife loves Bloody Marys. That's her one thing. She's like, oh, I'll love a Bloody Mary on a Sunday morning during football. I'm like, perfect.
Right.
But then the soap. How do you get into soap? That's
the
awesome.
The soap, John's ex-wife had a soaping business for probably about 10 years.
Sure.
And I'm not exactly 100% sure how we ended up, because we've had the soap for at least 5 years now. And I'm not exactly 100% sure how we got into it. I think we were discussing beard oils, because I had a long beard at the time. We were discussing beard oils and stuff, and we're like, well, why don't we just try the soap?
Sure.
You know, to wash your ass. I mean, everybody needs that.
That's right.
And it's actually been growing more and more over the, you know, the last year or so. It really well during the holidays.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. That's a nice product to get in a Christmas basket or something, or a Christmas gift. That's really simple. So what year did you specifically purchase the company?
I bought it from my dad in 2018.
In 2018. Mm-hmm. And it was just strictly beef jerky at that time, or was there other products?
We were... basically everything we had now. We might have added the Bloody Mary mix after that.
Okay.
But it might be close to around the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
You got to keep adding things, because they always say that you got this company, but then you got to start adding little things to it. And you watch all those kind of startup companies. One of my favorite companies is a clothing company called Bad Birdie. But since they've started making polos now, they make shorts that go for golf. They make windbreakers, socks, t-shirts. Now you just have to keep expanding, it always seems. So can't get stagnant. Otherwise, you just kind of go away eventually.
We do that. We have Kyle Auerbach back at the shop there. He's really good with developing the new packaging. Now, what we did with our 3 ounce bags and we're making more retail size products. So we've had a 20 count bag. We're dropping that down to a 10 count.
Is this what you consider a retail product?
A 3 ounce bag. And what we've done with that is we've made it a flat matte, a matte finish on there.
Okay.
So when you're at a store under the lights, it's not going to be reflective or anything. So when you walk in,
sure, I see what you're saying.
When you walk in, you're going to see it still. Everything else is all
shiny, glossy.
Yeah. Yep,
gotcha.
The glossy finish, and so we've done that. It's just trying to keep new products. Or making it look new, even though it's not.
Yeah, you got to repackage every so often to keep them guessing. But now, a question, how many employees are at Kick-Ass?
Well, there's myself and five other people. There's not a whole lot of us.
No kidding. No. And you guys are all pushing out this product.
Yeah. The cool thing is I don't make any of it. It's we got the sound there. Like it's
we do.
Letting
people know that people are coming in. We got a live audience.
The cool thing is we don't make any of it.
Sure.
And so it can come in on a pallet, and then we just take it off the pallet and ship it back out.
Oh, gotcha.
Everyone that I have on my team is amazing. They all know their job, and they all are able to take care of a lot of the things and do all that they do, so I can do what I do with the social media side, making content and going and help by promoting my biggest thing is when I started the social media is I've always liked Rob Dyrdek.
I loved him too. I used to watch Robin Big and then Fantasy Factory.
I
was he was always in different venues of shirts or companies for startup companies,
skating,
DC.
Skating,
all that kind of stuff.
And the cool thing is he didn't really talk about those companies. But you wanted to know about him because he's wearing it or who he is. He's making you laugh or the type of person that he was. So, when I do a lot of the social media, I don't typically talk a whole lot about the company. I'm just wearing it.
Yep.
And if you like me, you want to find out and support me. I mean, it says Kick-Ass. So, if you search it, it's going to come up. And so I have always, since I started that, that's who I wanted to kind of emulate and be like.
I really loved him, or I still like him, actually. Yeah. He has a podcast as well. But, what you're saying there reminds me of when you drive by billboards. You drive by enough things that say the same thing after a while, when you're hungry or thirsty for that or whatever it is, you just go and automatically kind of go grab. It's like it's embedded.
Right.
So people are thinking beef jerky. They might go, oh, yeah, remember Kick-Ass? Yeah, let's go grab some of that. Yeah. So I understand what you're doing. That's a really smart thing to do.
And it's easy. Like, it's that indirect marketing. And
yep.
I always have it on.
What was one thing you really liked about Rob that really resonated with you?
He just seemed like down to earth, like the type of person that you'd want to hang out with.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, like you would just be fun to hang out with. He never really, it didn't seem, he just kind of told it like it is, went out and had fun, and was just a smart businessman.
Yeah.
And that's, and I've been watching, you know, I watch some of his videos and stuff, like the podcast. I'll watch what's on like Instagram and stuff. But his mindset was always to move forward.
Sure.
And like in my mindset ever since I've been working is don't let today's success determine tomorrow's motivation.
Gotcha.
So whatever you do today, don't be like complacent with that and be like, okay, well, I did that today. We did great today. So tomorrow I can slack. No, you have to have the mindset that you want to continue to grow and grow and grow.
That's right. Yeah.
And don't give yourself the option to fail.
Yeah. I like that. And, you know, you're looks like you're having fun when you're at work because I see some of the videos and it's with the employees.
Yeah.
Because I know most of the employees that are working there anyways. But, yeah, you're having fun with them. And they're all part of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of them are kind of like their own personalities behind the scenes a little bit because tell little, you know, little Johnny jokes, which we'll get to that. And they're all, you know, they kind of play along with it. And that's really awesome that they're willing to do that because not everyone loves being on camera. And
no.
You got to have that want.
It took a lot for me. At first, my very first video was September 11th, 2019.
Okay.
And what had happened was to go farther back, I didn't even know about getting into social media, but because being down in Mexico, I would be in the pool playing catch with my boys.
Sure.
Or you know, whatever, just hanging out in the pool. And I would look around the pool, and anyone that was like 35 and over were like me inside playing with their kids. Anyone that was younger than that is sitting on the side of the pool looking at their phone. And I'm like, I need to get into this social media. Like, yeah. I need to. So I went home, and just with the Kick-Ass part of it, I made a goal that I was going to post 3 times a day on Instagram alone.
So three times
three times a day is what I, and that was 2017.
Wow.
And within 6 months, I went from like 400 followers to like 21,000. Now for a business side, for 21,000 on a business is usually, it's pretty big.
Is it really?
At that time?
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't ever know when someone's got a lot of followers. Is it helping them or not? Or do you have to have this significant amount of followers before it starts helping you? But you said you went from 400 to 21,000.
Yes.
Okay.
In six months.
And you saw that in your business too. It started translating.
Well,
over. What
had happened was I started to see that there were a lot more outdoorsy hunters and fishermen and NASCAR people that were following me. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to cater to this group.
Okay.
So I started sending out samples to people that hunt, people that fish,
sure.
NASCAR. Well, I didn't even send out to NASCAR at that point. Mostly hunting, fishing, camping, hiking.
Yep. That's who I would expect that would want beef jerky for sure.
And then I had NASCAR driver Spencer Boyd called me on the phone one day. He's like, hey, this is Spencer Boyd. Have you ever thought about getting into NASCAR? And I'm like, you're full of shit. Why would any driver be calling me?
Right.
And he's like, and I said, yeah, but I wouldn't be able to afford you. And he's like, well, we can talk about that. And, you know, I'm just kind of getting going and he was in the trucks at that time and just trying to get going and let's see what we can do. And came up with a great package. So within those 6 months, now I'm on a NASCAR truck. Well, actually it was Xfinity. I was in NASCAR. Well, that was going on for a couple of years. I also picked up, it was Anna Glennon. She was is, I think, a record holder for jet skiing for competition.
Oh, sure.
In the U.S. and in Canada. She's done very well. All these people were contacting me through my 3 posts a day.
Wow. So that really makes a difference.
Oh, it did.
Okay.
It did.
Now I know.
And I got a hold of, there's a couple of guys, Murray from Fish and More Outdoors and Sam Sobey. They both do YouTubes.
Okay.
And for fishing. And I invited them to come catfishing with me because we go up by Red Wing Dam, and yep, we catch a lot of big flatheads up there. So they came up and they're like, dude, you're funny. You tell jokes. You do it. He said, have you ever tried TikTok? And I was like, nah, TikTok is young girls dancing.
That's what people think. It's got that.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm like, there's whatever, no way. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to be doing that. I said, I'm not dancing. I'm not going to be doing that sort of thing. They're like, no, you can just post an ice fishing video.
Sure.
So I posted my first video.
Back I believe then, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TikTok was supposed to be, well, TikTok videos were 15 seconds. I thought they were a minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was like Vine.
Yeah.
It was like six, right, 5 seconds.
Right.
Something like
so
that.
It was, yep, a 15 second video. I posted a minute long video and I'm tip up fishing and I'm pulling hand over hand and it was an accidental loop. Every 15 seconds, it just shows me pulling and pulling and pulling, and people are waiting for this fish to come up. And in 20 minutes, 1.2 million views. I'm sitting in
how many minutes?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. That was back when you could refresh, yeah, and refresh and watch it go up like 20,000.
Sure.
20,000 at a refresh.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there at work, and back then we had a old ass recliner, and I'm just, and I'm like, John, look at this shit. I said, it's huge. I said, I have never been on anything like this, that any social media.
Sure.
So I'm like, well, I don't know what to do next. Well, a couple weeks later, we were heading down to watch Spencer, because I was still sponsoring him,
mm-hmm,
down to Talladega to watch him race, which he won, by the way. And the truck races.
Wow. And your logo's on the side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're driving down there and like, why don't you just tell a little Johnny joke? So I told a little Johnny joke as we're driving down, and again, just views after views after views. I think it was like 3 weeks, it was over 100K followers.
Wow.
And just kept growing. Just kept growing from there.
That's so nuts. And so I assume the little Johnny jokes come from the fact that most people probably call you Jeremy Little.
Yes.
Because, oh, yeah, the L and the E are the, yeah, opposite way, but it's Littell.
Right, right.
So that's clever too.
Yeah.
Because you might as well say little Johnny jokes. And yeah, your kids are part of this too.
Yes.
Which is, I think one of your kids, Anthony, I believe, follows me and likes, okay, some of my stuff. So shout out to Anthony.
Well, that would be him because he wasn't allowed to have any of that until he was 13.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, he likes some of my stuff every so often. So hopefully he keeps liking it. I appreciate that very much. So, but that's just nuts that something as simple as that video just like blew up, and then all of a sudden your numbers blow up, which then eventually is going to translate over to, hey, how can I make this part of our business?
Right, and then COVID hit.
And then COVID hits, yeah. How did that happen? How did that did it take a toll on your business at all or not? I don't know how that
initially
did it. Okay.
At that time, I don't even know. I don't know if we were selling in Hy-Vee. If we were, it was okay. Not a whole lot.
Okay.
Chris at that time was going to the stores and delivering. I think we had like 40 stores that he was delivering to directly.
Okay.
Now we go through their warehouse. But that was the only bigger establishment that we had. 60% of our stuff at that time was small mom and pop gas stations and bars, which were all closing.
Yep.
None of them were allowed to be open. So I had just hit 1 million followers when it was, I think it was March, was it 2020 when it all went down?
Yeah, right, got, yeah, there? And the way I know that is because, yeah, I was on a cruise. I was on the last, okay, cruises that were out that week. And as I'm on this cruise in the middle of the ocean, things are shutting down throughout the week. So I remember one distinct thing was when Rudy Gobert wiped down the mic with his face and all that in his hands, and it was kind of giving the shit to, yeah, everyone. And then all of a sudden it was like Friday or Saturday of our cruise. We're like, we better get the hell off this thing before they shut down this cruise and make us all quarantine in there, because that was the thing that had happened.
Right.
And there's actually, I think, a documentary out there. So, yeah, it was March. I want to say
it was the poop cruise?
No, not the poop cruise. Oh. I did watch that, though. That's hilarious. No, it was another one. They, like, forced everyone to stay inside of their cabins, and they would deliver them food, and they had, like, hazmat suits on. Oh, I'm like, okay. You're basically trapped in your room for 2 weeks, and if you didn't have, like, a balcony room, you're literally in, like, a jail cell, yeah. Which would just suck.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, that was in March of 2020. I remember distinctly.
My family was down in Mexico. And Trump had talked about closing the borders.
Yeah, I remember that.
And where we're at our resort that we stay at, where it's a 15-minute walk to the airport. So you see all the planes flying out. So that day, my wife Brittany is like, we need to get out of here. We need to fly out. And I'm like, uh-uh. I'm like, if they make me stay down here, I'll stay. I'm like, I'm fine. I said, it is a lot cheaper to be down here. The food's better. I'm like, I'd be happy to. But typically, you can watch the planes fly out, and they go, it's like a 5 minute out, and then they turn to the right. Well, before they would do another one. Well, as they were going halfway up, there was another plane behind that, another plane. Well, he had his, like, address to the nation in like at like 2 o'clock, and then it completely stopped because he left the borders open, and I'm sitting there like, man, I wish we could have stayed. But no, we had to
TikTok
go home.
From here. I can TikTok from here.
No, I could do all that from here.
It's warmer.
So when COVID hit, the business took a huge hit.
Really? See, now I wouldn't have thought so much your business only because of the fact that I feel like you could buy beef jerky. But you went back and said a lot of the places you were in at the time had to close.
Yes.
Because the first time I do remember seeing Kick-Ass was in bars. I would see behind the counter back by, you know, like the bottles of booze. And I would see Kick-Ass back there and then snag one every so often when I needed something to go with my beer. So I understand that then because that's where it was at the time. But again, when you think about it, I'm like, oh, beef jerky. People eat beef jerky during COVID, but it depends on where you were at the time, and you were 5 years ago.
Right.
It was a different story than now.
So what I did, just hit 1 million followers on TikTok. I had never talked about my company prior to that.
Oh, so nobody even knew.
Other than
your shirt. Yes.
They saw me, but nobody knew that I was the owner. There's still to this day, people think that I am, that I'm sponsored.
You mind if I have more?
Oh, yeah. Keep it going. they still think that I'm sponsored. So I took to...
Self-sponsored.
Yeah, right. I took to TikTok, and I made a video basically telling them, hey, we're down 60%. This is really hurting us. If you know anybody that likes beef jerky, if you like beef jerky, check out the website, share this, you know, do whatever you want with it. But try and get the name out there. And so I sent it to a few, because when I started growing on there, anyone in my age group, we got to know each other. And so, I mean, there's some big ones that are out there now that we're all around the same age, and we grew up together on there, I guess you'd say.
On TikTok, you
mean?
Yep.
And okay. So I sent it to a few of them, and then they shared it, and then it blew up. We, within 3 hours... I bet you we had 300 orders.
Okay.
A typical like good sale, I'm at like 100 orders is what I'll have. By the time I was done with work and I went over to Hy-Vee, John said, have you checked Shopify? And I had not, and he said, well, open it up. And I opened it up and it would ding every time, or a cash sound or a ding.
Yeah.
And it was ding, 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 ding. It sounded like I had just won on a slot machine. And I dropped to my knees crying. Like, I could not believe that the TikTok community basically came together and did that for us. We had 2,500 orders in 10 days.
That's awesome.
Everyone was working. Dude. And so that saved us. I mean, the cool thing about it is, when you get an order online, it's instant money. When I'm selling to a wholesaler or a store, usually it's 30 to 45 days.
Yep.
I got that like immediately right away. And then that's how I continue to grow. And that's how Kick-Ass started to grow social media wise.
Sure. Yeah. So people were just ordering from the website.
Yeah. Well, because okay. COVID, they could then at that time.
Right.
And then they were getting dumped all this money and, you know, from the
government, yeah.
From the government giving everyone money. And so that, when I said initially COVID hurt me, after that took place, it was probably one of my best years that I ever had.
So did you have a trouble fulfilling the orders then? Or
no, we had, it's funny, we took
who needs water?
Our back area, and we basically revamped it so that we could fit a lot of people back there.
Okay.
I mean, we were working weekends. I mean, there was all six of us, plus, like, we had wives and moms and dads. Sure. And I mean, everyone came together, and we were able to get it all out. I mean, we were at one point, I think the most we did in a day was like 250 orders.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
So so nowadays, is that, are you more than that now? 250 orders a day, or are you around?
No, it kind of went down. I mean, with the cost of goods right now, you know, people are looking at getting regular food instead of the snack foods and the impulse items.
Sure.
I'll tell you that our sales went from online the year prior from 50,000 to 750,000 that
Whoa.
Year. And
shit.
Then now our yearly online sales is around 450 to 500.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So awesome. It took a cut, but I mean, it's still up there.
That's a long ways from where it started.
Yeah.
And that's not even that long ago.
No.
When you think about it, you said that, you know, kind of like that 2017-18 areas where you kind of took over.
Right.
That's not that long ago. It's only 7 years ago.
Yeah,
we're
not
talking. And then within the first 2 years, COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said that some of the people that grew up on TikTok with you, are you talking about some of the bigger people? Is that what
bigger
you're talking
creators.
About? Who are some of the ones that shared your posts to help grow that? Do you remember who they were?
So the guys that really did it, I don't know. When did you start watching TikTok way back then? Or
I was
2020, 2021?
Oh, I believe so.
So there was guys that did the beard wars. So they would
beard
dress
wars.
Up their beards for Christmas and everything. So they would put all... So Beer Bong John was the first one that did it. And then so him and Iron Sanctuary were like best friends because they both had the big burly beards. And
okay.
So and then them two. And then there was another one... JT Laybourne, he was the guy that started like the Just Think, where he would hide hats around the Utah area and people would find him. And it was all, it was funny because it was kind of like how I was in high school. I wasn't part of the jocks. I wasn't part, we called them jocks and homies. And
what was a homie?
Homie was the guys that listened to the rap music and wore baggy clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't a jock. I wasn't, and well, it was.
Were you gothic?
No, I wasn't that either. But I hung around with everybody.
That's the same everybody. With me. I got along with just about every
yeah.
single person.
So I hung around, and so that's how it was on TikTok because TikTok has clicks.
Does it really?
Oh yeah. Okay. There's okay. big clicks that are on there. Like you can be a part of this click, that click, and so I'm not involved in any of them, but I'm friends with a lot of different people that are all in those cliques.
Sure.
And so those were the guys that like originally had pushed it out for me. And then it just kind of just kept going and
That's
going.
That's awesome.
And I've met a lot of cool people since then and been able to do a lot of things that I never would have thought I'd be invited to do.
What's something you've been invited to that you can't believe that happened?
Mostly I would say like my buddy, Justin Nunley, he called me up one day, asked if I want to go to, because I've already been to NASCAR, like regular NASCAR,
okay.
like through Spencer. And so we've been in the pits and he's like, asked if I wanted to come to Bristol and sit VIP and we could do everything VIP and basically have a run of the place. And I was like, well, I'd love to do that. I hadn't met him prior to that. I mean, we knew each other through social media, and we get down there, and on the Wednesday night, they let us drive our truck, on the track at Bristol.
The NASCAR truck?
My truck.
Oh, your truck.
Yeah, my truck.
So you just got to go there and just whip around.
Yeah, because Wednesday night there was nobody there but us. There was probably like 20 people that were there, and we basically had the run of the place. And so that was pretty awesome. I got a buddy of mine. They're regulators. I don't know if you've ever heard of the regulators.
What do they do?
It's Bobby and Eddie. They do basic black and white comedy. They act like they're brothers, and they do just the comedy of them like ribbing off of each other.
Okay. I'm going to look up some of these because some of these I don't know. What was the other one? You said Justin?
Justin Nunley?
What is his
thing? Listen, did you know?
Oh, that, yes, yeah. I know him for sure.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yep. So that was who took you to Bristol?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he had a connection with Bristol, and then went to Vegas.
Jeez.
Actually, awesome. The second time we went to Bristol, we did the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like me and five other people. We did the hot, and the guy that Joey
Chestnut.
Is that the guy?
The hot dog eating guy?
He judged it, yeah.
He just won again this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So he judged your hot dog. Oh,
I did terrible.
How many do you think you put down?
One and a half.
In how many minutes?
I think we had a minute. Yeah, I think we only had a minute. We had a one and a half.
Can you ever believe how those guys can put down that many hot dogs with bread? And then feel good afterwards?
You can't. It's disgusting. They say that they sweat hot dogs after. You imagine like just smelling like a hot dog all the time. I bet you he smells like a hot dog all the time.
God, that's nasty as hell. Yeah. I know it's in a hot dog.
Yeah.
Just sweating right. Out pig byproducts.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you were about to mention something else that you got to do with, can't remember, the brothers.
Regulators.
The regulators.
Regulators, yeah. Eddie and Bobby. Bobby had sent me a pilot of a show that they were doing.
Okay.
And it's called Extinction Level Event. And it's basically, it's like Walking Dead with a comedy relief to it. So it's comedy and then zombies.
Okay.
And 99% of the cast are all TikTokers.
Okay.
So he sent this to me and he's like, well, what do you think? And I remember I was sitting out by the fire behind the house and I'm like, I want to be a part of this. I'm like, what can I do to be a part of this? And so I flew out. They live in Charlotte. I flew out to Charlotte that next week and I'm like, I want to be involved. What can I do? And I said, I want to be in it. And so we had talked about it with the writer at that time, ended up getting a character for me. The year, I think it was like 6 months later, we started filming more. And things kind of went back and forth with when we were going to actually make it happen. And I ended up speaking with a friend of mine, Crystal Bridges, who was huge into all type of filmography and stuff in, I believe she's from Alberta, in Alberta, Canada. Well, it turned out that we're able to set this up and we did, we've got a 3-episode mini series that we did in 10 days, start to finish in Oklahoma, just south of Oklahoma City. And there was like 20 of us that stayed in one big, huge house and got this thing done. I play, his name is Harvey, and I'm a gambler. And I ended up winning the game of my life. And then the zombie apocalypse happens.
Okay.
And then my part just goes from there. But it's pretty cool. Where everything is finally done, and then we're trying to. Their AMG, I believe, is the company that's going to be kind of like managing and heading things up for us.
Okay,
and then we're going to try and push it around wherever we can to get it going. And it's
so you just shot this not too long ago then?
No, this would have been, it'd be 2 years coming up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's okay, been a while.
Okay, so that's how long the process but it took, takes.
It, because it's all indie. Like, everything right. we did was low budget, and it was a bunch of friends. And the cool thing is, it's like we all have all of our following that's in there already. Yeah. And once we finally get it out, I think we could push it pretty well. And
well, I mean, if y'all got millions of followers.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you're at like, what, 4.6 right now on TikTok?
On TikTok, yeah, I'm at 4.6.
Yeah. Is that your biggest one?
It's my, well, and I used to have another one on TikTok that had 10.2.
What happened to that one?
They deleted me for no reason. They thought that my kids were running that account. And oh. so they just got rid of it, and I have tried to get it back for the last year and a half with nothing.
I suppose, though, it might not be that hard to get some of those followers back just based on who you are. They already 10 million people already knew you prior.
Oh, so. But on Facebook, like on my comedy page on Facebook, there's 2.7.
Okay.
On my personal page, I'm at 2.5.
Okay.
Instagram's 1.4. I mean, collectively, I think I'm still at like 13 million. So nice. It's wild. It's crazy to think about. But when people meet me, I am exactly, well, not when I'm not telling jokes, if you were to meet me, I would be the same person that you would see on there.
Sure.
Because there's been people, and thankfully I haven't met them, but I've heard that there's some people out there that want to charge for an autograph, charge for a meet and greet. I would never do that. It took one person to follow me, and that one person is just as important as the 13th million, you know?
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, now do people recognize you walking down the street, or does that
They do.
Really? They do.
Okay. What's crazy, though, is around here, everyone knew me prior. For Kick-Ass Beef Jerky.
Yeah.
And so I don't get that a lot unless it's someone that's new that moves to the area and sure. sees me in the store. There was, I think this was a year ago. I was in Hy-Vee, and there was this kid that came up to me, and he's like, "Oh, it's you! It's you!
It's you!"
It's you. He goes, can I get a picture?" And he was probably like 13 yeah. years old. He's, "Can I get a picture?" He says, "I don't have a phone, but I'll go get my mom. Just wait here." And so I'm standing back there by the chicken, standing there, and his mom comes back and she's like, "Oh, so you're the guy that my son wants to get the picture taken with?" And I'm just like, "Yeah," and it smiled. And she says, so what do you do?" And I said, I do porn.
You said that?
Yeah, I said, "I do porn." Her face turned so red. And I'm like, "No, I'm just kidding. I do TikTok videos." I'm like, she had no idea what to say because got a 13-year-old son. Yeah, you know, maybe, but... Yeah,
that's
it was funny.
Yeah, I do porn. That's
yeah, what? I do porn. Yeah.
But that kid like shit his pants. Yeah. Like, oh fuck. Yep. All right. Well, that's so funny. And so now, does that ever get weird if you because a lot of times people are like, "Oh, I don't feel like I'm a celebrity," but you are. I mean, I looked you up, and you're on the celebrity birthday list. Just so you know, I don't know if you know
I
that.
I did not know that.
Well, now you are. Yeah. Now you do know that. And so now you are a celebrity birthday that someone might have a birthday with. Yeah. So does it ever feel weird when someone stops you like that? Or are you just like, "Thanks, I appreciate it. I love it."
It used to be because when I would post, I would always post, "If you see me, come give me a hug." I like the hug more than shake hands.
Sure.
So my biggest following is a lot of truck drivers.
Okay.
And so if I'm on the road and I will pull into a Pilot or anything, I have had truckers follow me in there and jump out of their truck and like, "Hey, little Johnny, come run." And so in the beginning, that scared the hell out of me.
I bet.
I didn't know how to react to that. But as well, you really get dumped into it. Like when I went to Bristol, they'll have their fan zone area where they have 5,000 to 10,000 people. When you're in there with all of those people, it's kind of like you're just dumped into it.
Yeah.
And so you get used to it pretty quick. Now, when I go down to Texas, my wife's family lives down in Texas. We will go out to eat sometimes. there'll be people that'll see my truck and that have waited outside of the restaurant.
Oh, you drive the kick-ass truck?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I drive that most everywhere. Family's coming.
Sure.
Yeah. That have waited outside to come meet me. And so that, I mean, it gets, it's strange at first, but after a while, you know, you just thank them. And if you notice that they notice you, that's when I'll like approach them, because there'll be a people that'll be just looking. And I'll just go up and introduce myself.
You can just tell picture. They know you and they don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah, I know how that would go.
But yeah, it's fun. It's surreal.
Yeah.
Cause again, I don't see myself like that.
Sure.
But
yeah. I mean, you're just walking around Winona all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I see you at Goodview Days and you know, you're just one of the people that are out there just promoting, selling. Cause I think you guys have the kick-ass.
Yeah. We got a tent
coming. This will come out after Goodview Days, but you're always posted up on the first base foul line.
Yes.
I always see you guys there. The
you
bright
play?
Orange tent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every year. You haven't noticed all my home runs? Oh my god!
You got a lot of dingers.
Well, I mean, I had a walk off one year about 3 or 4 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, put her over the left field and hit one of those by the horseshoes back there. Hit one of the top of the tents as a walk off in the extra innings. So I felt pretty good about that.
Right.
That was like a mental high for sure. Yeah. So yeah, now there's one thing I read on your bio on the Kick-Ass is that there. I don't know if I say you saved a life. Because there was someone that said they were going to watch 5 more videos, and one of them was yours, and you made them laugh so much that they found light in that, and it saved them, possibly. Yeah. Can you speak on that at all? Or?
So after my first year of doing it, you know, the COVID had hit. We had hit our following, and I was making the videos, but I'm like, well, what's my purpose? You know, I got my kids a little bit involved, but what, you know, I wasn't making any money at that time. But I mean, outside of, you know, through the Kick-Ass, I wasn't getting paid for content at that time.
Okay.
And it was basically, we made some people laugh, you know, it was great and everything. And I started to get DMs and messages on how I'm helping people with their PTSD, I'm helping people with depression, because that 1 minute long video is taking them out of that dark place.
Sure.
Even if it's just for a minute.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's great. I still have a lot of videos out there. You know, you could continue to watch that. And then I got that one DM, I think it was through Instagram, where, watch 5 videos. Fifth video was going to end my life. I saw yours, made me realize that my life was worth living.
Wow.
That was my purpose.
Yep.
Like that right there made it. So it was like, okay, I'm not for everybody, but I'm there for some people. And so when, you know, the views are down and you don't have a viral video, because the mental toll as a creator, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I would compared to doing drugs almost, because you get such a high from when you get a viral video, and then after that you'll have none that do, you'll have a bunch that do nothing.
Yeah.
But at that point it was like, okay, when I post these mental health videos or a comedy video and it doesn't get a lot of views, the people that need to see it are still seeing it.
And that's awesome.
That was, that's where my purpose was.
So do you get a lot of DMs, I assume?
I probably get about 1,200 notifications a day.
Whoa.
Well, probably 1,200 notifications a day. DMs, probably about 150.
So how did you open that one? Or do you open them all?
I don't. I try to open. Like, I will spend probably an hour, at least an hour, hour and a half a day going through the ones that I can.
Sure.
And that was just one of them.
Wow. So it's almost like by chance that came by
and
you saw that one. That's pretty cool. That's going to make you feel amazing. I mean, granted, you're having fun, you're doing this, and you didn't know that your fun was helping someone out.
Right.
That's a great story.
And but then in my own mind, I still think, well, what I'm just a normal guy. What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, how is it me that's able to do this. When I look at other content creators that are out there that put so much time and effort and really, really, I mean, like yourself, you do these podcasts and do all this stuff, putting in way more effort than I am, way more effort, and my stuff sometimes it just blows up.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel bad. Like, I will tell people, like, you are talented. Myself, I don't feel like I'm talented.
Sure.
And I have a hard time with that.
You know, he had something that resonated with someone is really what happened. Right. Something resonated. People like jokes. And I think it's fun that your kids are part of it. And I think that's probably what makes it kind of fun, because not only are you hitting the adults, but you're also probably hitting other kids that are flipping through TikTok because everyone's got the darn app. So,
and that's the thing about a joke, though, for videos. You get more views the more that people watch the video for the length of time that they watch the video.
Sure.
Two things. You're catching a fish. People want to see that fish at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling a joke, whether they're going to hate that joke or not, they still want to hear what the punchline is. So you're forcing them to watch that entire video.
Right.
So which gives you more chance to be out on the algorithm.
I saw that. It said, like, in the first 2 or 3 seconds, you have to capture whoever it is, because that's about all the attention span is before someone flicks it up. And then
that's why a lot of people will do a lot of stitches. Like, they'll do something that's off the wall or hilarious, and then they'll do their commentary of it after that.
Sure.
And it's...
Well, that was like your buddy was Justin.
Yeah. Justin does a lot of that.
That's exactly what...
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know? Listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because I would see a lot of this stuff in the last 5 years or maybe even longer. I don't know, but yeah.
You got to have that hook.
The hook, line, sinker, yeah, literally and figuratively with the fishing one.
Right.
So as we're starting to wind down here, I noticed that you guys are opening up a new location here in the Winona, Minnesota area. What is going on there? Because I've seen that lot that says the home of kick-ass beef jerky. For almost 2 years. So what's going in there then?
So originally, I was going to do the store and warehouse there. I was going to do a 14,000 square foot warehouse, because right now we're down over by Airport Lake, there, and we're kind of outgrowing our space. What had happened was, when that went up for sale, it was the Goodview EDA that had bought it from what was a weigh station, so it would have been the DOT that they would have bought it from.
Sure.
And
yeah, that's right. It was a weigh station before, wasn't it? Yep.
And they were talking to different companies around the area where they wanted to bring more business to Goodview. They wanted to put Goodview on the map. So
they should do it.
What a lot of people, you know, there was more, they wanted to put up storage or manufacturing. When I came to them with my idea of, I want to kind of emulate a little bit of like the Nelson Creamery.
Oh, that's over there. Yeah, we go there all the time.
Where you have products and things where you can't get everywhere else, that it's a destination stop.
Sure.
So with the store in mind, I wanted to have obviously all of our stuff, and then cheese, and I wanted to do liquor. But then I remembered being in Minnesota, which is stupid. You can't sell food and liquor in the same, unless you have a restaurant license.
Gotcha.
So we're going to try to figure out a way to put a separate building for something like that. But I want to have it as an area where we can have different events. I'm going to get one of those box cars, like the train cars.
Yep.
And put that out there to have like small bands. We'll have an area outside for food trucks to come in. You know, Chris and Kyle are big into cars. They want to do like the cars and coffee type thing.
Have people come in. Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
And
I'll be there.
Yeah, and just have an area on this side of the river that's kind of like what they have over in Wisconsin.
I know exactly what you're talking about too, because we just went to El Morro a couple weeks ago. And they have all those little stops amongst those apple places. And now one of them has like a boutique, ice cream, you got beer. So, it's really kind of a nice stop. So you want to make it like one of those.
Something like that. We'll have food trucks come in.
Yeah.
And just make it an area that you want to come and, you know, and have fun. We're going to have each holiday, we're going to redecorate it.
Okay.
So we'll have set up for Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween, because we want to do like pumpkins and Christmas trees.
Sure.
And, you know, just make it something that's just a little bit different.
Okay.
And then we want to like get involved in like the flood runs and,
yes,
you know, just different things where people, it's on the map for people to stop. You know what I mean?
That would definitely be a thing because everyone comes through here for the flood run. I think it goes all, I think it starts in like the La Crosse area, goes all up to the cities.
Yeah.
So this would definitely be a destination stop if you have the right stuff. So was this your idea to begin with, or was it a collective idea through everyone?
This part of it was my idea.
Okay.
This part of it is, well, my dad was really all about like selling the wholesale, wanting to sell the wholesale product, getting out. I mean, because we're selling in 26 states now. But my idea was more like, we live in a beautiful area. Us that have lived here for a while, we are very, it's almost like we're immune to the beauty of what it is, the bluffs, the river.
Sure.
And people like to come here and are just in awe of how nice it looks. Well, we have an opportunity to add something. And with our name and the exposure, they say like 35,000 cars pass through a day.
Yep. Something like that.
So if that's the case, you know, I'm going to advertise the shit out of it out there. Like, we're going to get the big letters, you know, the kick-ass store, yeah, have everything set up. I look at it as more of an opportunity to be more inclusive with the community, and to get known out in other places. And then, you know, you never know what will happen.
That's exactly right. Well, I got two more questions for you before we end this. My first one is, and you can say, I'm not going to give out my special formula, but for me, what could I do to make the podcast better in your mind? Or what would something that would expand this to get it out to more people? Is it posting 3 times a day? Is that something that should be done for sure?
I would say, you know, continue posting like the reels and, yep, and stuff that you're doing.
So I do them once a week, so I feel like I probably need to do them more.
Well, you could still do that. But then also, at least once a day, add in more of your life. Just add in, yes, more of things. I mean, I don't know if you want to show off cars that you have.
Sure.
You know, just something that shows that you are connecting with your people. Also, anything that is with current events blows the hell up. I just posted yesterday the Vikings adding the male cheerleaders.
Oh, sure.
All I have to do is just post it, and it gives people a chance basically to argue. People on social media just want to argue.
Oh, I know.
And so if you post stuff that's, you know, you don't want to post it like against your own views. I don't say I want to post politics, race, gender, any of that sort of thing. But if you post stuff that is controversial at any point or with current events, people will discuss it and go and to great lengths to tell you their point of view, and that helps your page grow.
Sure.
So I would say, at least if you're not posting, if you're only posting once a week, you're really not going to grow what you want to do. Perfect. I would at least once a day.
I got a question about that. How do you deal with people that say negative things to you? Because I'm assuming with 4.6 million people on your TikTok, there's going to be negative feed.
At first, it got to me. Oh, it got to me a lot. And I would blast them back as much as I could just because it would – oh, yeah. It was terrible at first. But now it's like you just got to take it. Like, you got to take it for what it is because it's still – what publicity, good or bad?
Yeah.
You know, if a lot of times if someone says something bad, the followers that I have, it's like a beehive. They'll just jump right on that. I don't really have to do anything.
They got your back.
Yeah, and so you really have to. It's funny because people will say, "Well, you know, you got into this. You should know what you're getting into."
Sure.
Well, no, I didn't sign up for you to be an asshole to me.
That's true.
I did not grow up with this.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand is I was one person looking at a phone And I got lucky at that point in time. I got lucky. Yeah. And I tell people, it's like spinning a lottery, like sitting there at a slot machine. You have to continue to do it. I have over 15,000 videos.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Then. Yeah. And when I first started, it was 9 to 12 videos a day on TikTok. And then with that, I would look at all of the bigger creators that were out there, and I would wait for them. I was doing this 14 hours a day, waiting for people to post. And then I would jump on there and make a witty comment. It wouldn't be like, oh, first, or check me out. It would be something relating to what they posted, but in a comedic way.
Sure.
So that people would come and check me out.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I kind of would like to at some point go to schools or colleges and talk to these kids that think, oh, I'm just going to grow up and be a content creator. I'm just going to grow up and be a YouTuber. Well, great. Yeah, you can. But again, my first year and a half, it was 14 hours a day, 9 to 12 videos a day, and doing as much interaction as I could.
Sure.
Since then, I've been able to coast. Like, I post a lot of recycled content.
Yep.
And I'm only doing brand new, probably 9 videos a week.
That's more than me, so I gotta get going. I gotta get going. I got a lot of work to do here.
So it's there are benefits, but as I was saying earlier, your mental health could really be affected by this because of the dopamine that, like, when you get your first viral video, you know, first viral video that goes a million views, you're just like on cloud 9, super excited. And then you post your very next video and it gets 2,000. You're like, well, what happened? You know what?
Right.
What? You can't let that discourage you. And that's why I had said you can't let today's success determine tomorrow's motivation. Yep. You
know? I had one that got 55,000 views or 56,000 views. It was, and I'm still working on getting back there, but I guess I got to post more. That's just all it is. So that was like a full-time job at that point.
It was. And that's where I continually tell people how thankful I am for my crew.
Yeah.
They all know their job. They all do amazing and allow me to do this while they're keeping, you know, kick ass on the map.
Well, last question I have for you is, do you have a little Johnny joke for us, or your favorite one, or maybe the best
one? I can tell you the first one.
Oh, the first one.
The very first one.
Okay, listen up here, everyone. This is the very first one. This is the one that went viral, I assume?
The very first one that went viral.
Okay, let's hear it.
So little Johnny gets on the bus, and he sits directly behind the bus driver because he's always getting in trouble. And he says to himself, well, if my dad was a bull and my mom was a cow, well, that would make me a little bull. And he says, well, and if my dad was a rooster and my mom was a hen, well, that would make me a little chick. The bus driver's already getting pissed off. Listen to him. He says, all right, little Johnny, I got one for you. He says, if your mom was a whore and your dad was a drunk, what would that make you? Well, Johnny smiles and says, a bus driver.
That one, that's great.
Right away it went viral.
That one went viral, huh? Yep. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, Jeremy, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to touch on at all?
I think we're good. I think we're gonna try and open the store. I would like to be right after Thanksgiving, but from what I'm hearing, we're looking right around January.
Okay.
I want to do a big grand opening in April, and I'm hoping that's gonna be pretty big. I've got some people that I want to invite. We want to make that a huge event.
Sure.
Just got some logistics to go on that. But otherwise, no, I think thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on in. And for those who are listening or watching, where can they follow you at? I mean, I think it's pretty easy. You can just type into Google. But if you want to put that in
there. So on TikTok.
No, TikTok.
No, TikTok. No, we TikTok, don't have TikTok.
There's a guy.
There's TikTok a TikTok?
On TikTok. He's the TikTok. Dick Doc. Like, he talks about your penis.
He talks about dicks.
Yes. Well, he's a doctor, though. Like, erectile dysfunction and all that. He's the
Dick Talk on TikTok.
TikTok. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not that.
You are not that.
I'm not that. I'm on TikTok, Jeremy_Littell. On Instagram, Jeremy from TikTok. Facebook, Jeremy_Littell. Or Comedian Jeremy Littell. YouTube, Jeremy_Littell. Snapchat, Jeremy_Littell, which Snapchat I just got verified on, which is going well.
Nice.
Like you said, just put it in Google and you can find all of them.
You can, because you're now a famous birthday. Famous birthday. You can, it says your net worth, supposedly. I don't know. I never know if that's true, though.
That is how do they hilarious.
Know? Yes.
My sister got mad at me one time because she thought that my net worth, they said on there a couple years ago that my net worth was like $5.5 million.
Yep.
And I was like, you got to be crazy. There's no way that. There's no way that I'm even that close. Even what they say, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I got 850,000 subscribers on YouTube. My average that I get paid on there is $600 a month.
Damn.
It says that it's like 7 to 10,000. No, that's not it.
So then I assume you get paid off of some of the other ones then.
Yeah. Facebook is the largest. TikTok, I kind of fell off because a lot of their pay scale is on videos over a minute.
Sure.
And so I kind of fell off on that. But Instagram and Facebook, they pay very well.
Well, you added me into a live a couple times when I was just sitting there at home. And the first time, this was funny, I was laying in bed and all of a sudden it says, Jeremy Littell invited you to be part of this live situation. I'm like, oh shit. I'm sitting in bed with my wife and I'm like,
Did you say you had to get up and put a shirt on?
Like, well, I gotta accept this. Yes. I'm sitting there and I had to put shorts on. I had to put a shirt on because I sleep naked. And yeah. I'm like, I gotta do this. I'm like, this guy's got 4.6 million. I met you in passing,
right,
but not personally. I'm like, I gotta do this. I gotta get up. So I sat with you guys for like an hour. And by the way, I made like $7 on that.
Nice.
I don't even know what that means on TikTok. $7 on TikTok. I don't know what it, yeah. Can I cash it in? It's the gifts.
It's the gifts that you get. Yeah.
So you did make me $7. I think I was on there twice with you at one point. And actually a couple other people were on there. The dive bar, the Wisco dive bar guy was on.
Yeah, Jared.
And I kind of commented him on some of the TikToks. I'm like, you should come on if you're ever like in the La Crosse area. It'd be great to have you on here. Because I watch his videos too. And I think it's really funny to watch some of his stuff and some of the places he goes to. I'm like, that's a bar.
He's doing his 1,000th stop September 6th. 1,000 dive
Hopefully
bars.
It's in like La Crosse or even over at George's
bar.
I don't
think it's too far away. I'm not exactly sure. Because I am I'm hosting the races at Mississippi Thunder on September 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Oh, sure.
So I invited him to come.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't because of that.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm like, how does this guy get – I mean, he's just traveling all the time.
And he's got sponsorships too.
Does he really?
That's so cool. He gets invited to like a lot of the different, like Country Jam, Country Boom, Rock Fest, all of
those. He was at Country Boom, I think, and he was doing videos there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. I saw that a couple times. That's really cool. That's where I'm trying to get to is on that level. So I'll just keep working and plugging away, and I'll just take some advice that you just kind of gave me here, and I'll work with it.
We'll make it happen.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thank you one more time for coming on in. And for those who are watching or listening, like, share, subscribe, 5-star, maybe even comment. Maybe comment your favorite kick-ass merchandise, whether it's beef jerky or maybe it's even the Bloody Mary mix or maybe it's vodka or you guys even sell shirts and stuff of that nature. Yeah, so.
And I actually sell dick pics.
Ooh.
Have you not seen the dick pics?
I have not.
They're guitar pics. Oh. One side it says kick ass beef jerky. The other side it says dick. We've got white, black, orange, and pink.
Perfect. So you can buy a dick pic for your guitar.
Yeah, it'll work out great.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for also bringing in this has been fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah.
I don't even know that it's tequila, but I want to give you one more cheers though before we head off. So thank you one more time, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And for those who are listening, we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.